Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nick Grunibblink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero G Draft Strategy. And in this podcast, I'm going to go over the most puzzling players league-wide as submitted by the Apples and Genos Discord server. Let's go. All right, welcome in everybody to another live episode this week. Just trying to be here for the people. If anybody's in the chat, feel free to drop something in there. We can talk about it. We can talk about how these games are going. We got Michael in the chat already. He was there early saying happy Champions Week. Absolutely, it is Champions Week. And I think we're all hoping that that's us this week. I've got some good things going on for a couple of my teams already. Matthew's goal, I got a Rust goal, I got a Letang assist. I've got some good things going on already. That feels good. Hopefully the same is happening for you as well. But why don't we just jump right into this? I've got a bit of a shorter list. You can definitely tell we're getting to the end of the season. The amount of people requesting players for puzzling players has definitely decreased over the last few weeks as people are dropping off and getting eliminated in their leagues. It happens to the best of us, but we're definitely going to go through. We can actually probably get through everybody that was requested this week, which is awesome. Love that we're able to do that. Let's jump right in with Brandon Montour, the most requested player. He's got four assists his last five games. So far, nothing. They're just starting the second period against Toronto as I record this. But he's got four assists the last five games, averaging just under 23 minutes a night, 34th amongst defensemen in shots per 60, down at 172nd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 41st Corsi 4 per 60, 51st scoring chances 4 per 60. Definitely not as good as Montour has been on the season. You can see on the season up there at 15th shots per 60, 6th in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60. Definitely had a great number, a great season by the metrics, not so great by the actual counting stats, although he is now pacing for 44 points on the season. He's got 31 points in 58 games, which is respectable at the very least. I still think he's got more to give. I'm not too worried about this kind of minor downturn in his play here. Feels like this is probably something you'd expect to see from just about any player at any point in the season. Quite honestly, the fact that he's been right at the top of the league for so long this season is pretty remarkable, and a testament to how good Brandon Montour actually is in that Florida system. So overall, I'm not really expecting anything different from Montour. I mean, if you got Montour this week with four games played, then you're definitely not thinking about changing anything with him there. You're going to roll him out for the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday this week. Next week, let's keep looking at the schedule into next week. I'll sort by team here so I can get to it quickly. But they've got three games all on heavy nights next week. You know, maybe if you're in a 5D situation, you're thinking about it. I'm not personally. I'm riding Brandon Montour till the wheels fall off, as they say. I'm a pretty big fan of the player. I don't think this latest little bit, this stretch without a goal, any of that is anything to be too concerned about. Just continues to have a little bit of bad variance on the season in terms of the goal scoring. He's only got six goals on the season. Definitely think he deserves a little bit more than that, shooting just 4%. So I do think that Brandon Montour is a locked and loaded top of your lineup kind of player, and I'd be rolling him out there as such for the rest of your fantasy hockey playoffs. Luke Hughes next up here. He's got a goal, five assists for 6 points in his last five. He's really been coming on as of late, skating just over 20 and a half minutes a night. First amongst all defensemen in shots per 60, which is really impressive for Hughes. Has not been that guy throughout the season. Everything is terrific here. Top five in every single metric that I like to look at. So that's obviously amazing stuff from Luke Hughes over the last five games. On the season now, pacing for 10 goals, 45 points. That's good. You can see on the season, he's always been up there in terms of the on-ice numbers. That's a little bit buoyed by the fact that he's always been on that top power play, but definitely really good nonetheless. The individual scoring chances 4 per 60 has always been decent with Hughes, and it's really started to creep up now. He's up to 23rd amongst all defensemen on the season. Still 89th in shots per 60, but that's obviously going to come up as well with the amount of shots that he's been pumping out as of late. Really does seem like Luke Hughes is really starting to find his own as an NHL caliber defenseman, which is really good stuff. We love to see that from a guy like Luke Hughes, young player in the league. And yeah, it's hard not to get too excited about what Luke Hughes could be as soon as next year. Brandon Montour just scored in the Leafs game here. So there you go. As I was saying that he was due for some more goals, he scores. You love to see it. But basically, going back to Luke Hughes, you have to be bullish on this kind of profile moving forward. He might never be a tremendous shot producer, but this stretch is at least giving you some hope in that regard. He's definitely not profiling to be a guy who's gonna build up a ton of peripherals for you, in terms of like hits and blocks and things like that, but at least he can be somewhat similar to his brother Quinn Hughes in terms of the goals and the assists, providing a lot of utility that way. The really interesting part will be next year when Dougie Hamilton is back and healthy. What does that do? What do they do with two elite level offensive defensemen on the same team? How do they deploy both of those? Who gets top power play? Do they switch back and forth throughout the year? There will be a little bit of a little bit of, I guess, worry, and no matter which one of the two you're drafting, that one, the other player could take that back from them at any given moment. So I think that's a really interesting thing that we're going to have to parse in next year's drafts. So something I'm looking forward to getting into in the offseason for sure. Michael asking, can we get into Warren Fogle rest of season? For sure we can do that. I haven't seen the lines from today, if there have been any updates, so I'm going to briefly double check that for Edmonton specifically and see if they've done anything different. This is all from today. I don't see anything in terms of the lines. In the last game, Warren Fogle was playing alongside Adam Henrique and Leon Draisaitl. So obviously the exposure to Draisaitl is what you're excited about. He's still skating under 14 minutes on average. 92nd in shots per 60, solid stuff. It's only resulted in 2 points in the last five, one goal. The individual scoring chances for have gone down. The on-ice numbers are not terrific. Of course, he hasn't been on the line with Draisaitl that entire time. Rest of season, I don't know if you could consider Fogle like a hold. Basically, I want to be rostering Fogle when he's got exposure to Draisaitl and or Connor McDavid at even strength, but when he does not, then I'm off of Warren Fogle. So whatever that means for your league, that's kind of where I'm at. Definitely, I think he's a streamable player, especially in deeper leagues this week. As long as he's on that line, I'm interested, but you have to be ready and willing to move off him. You can't put all your eggs in that basket for sure. All right, let's move back on up. We got Kyle Palmieri here. He's got 2 goals, 2 points his last five games, averaging just over 18 minutes a night, 39th in shots per 60, 45th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. That'll play 112th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 105 in scoring chances, 4 per 60. I'm going to check because there was some talk of them shuffling up some lines. So it looks like we got Palmieri with Nelson and Engvall in this game here. That's an okay spot. Palmieri has been on the top power play for much of the season and has done some decent work there. Don't believe he's gotten in on either of New York's 2 goals that they've scored so far. I'll double check that one real quickly here. No, he hasn't gotten in on either of those. So, Palmieri, again, a guy that I don't mind rostering. He's very clearly a streamer level player. Like you look on the season, he's pacing for 27 goals, 48 points. That's pretty much who Palmieri is at this stage. Just in a solid spot, producing solid numbers. He is a streamable player, nothing more, nothing less. So yeah, he was a great add for this week for the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back that the Islanders open with this week. I think that's a great play. If you got him, I would be happy with that play. I would have taken him over Anders Lee, for example, from his own team. A lot of other plays that you could have made. Anybody from Florida, any of the commonly available players from Pittsburgh. If Brian Rust was out there, then he was the clear play. But aside from Brian Rust, from those three teams that opened up this week with the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, I think Palmieri was it. So hopefully you got him for this week. Thinking about next week, if you end up rostering him all this week, and then you're looking at him going into next week, into week 26. Then let's take a look at their schedule there. Again, it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, all heavy nights situation. So that's not ideal, obviously, for Palmieri. I think you can hold on to him, but he's just at that level where you're probably looking to move off. So I think that's definitely something you can do with a guy like Palmieri. Toronto Dave's in here, hashtag zero G. Good to see you, buddy. All right, let's keep it rolling. Let's talk about Chris Letang. Letang does have an assist in the game tonight, so that's good for me. And he's got three assists in his last five before tonight, averaging 26 and a half minutes a night. That's good stuff. We like to see big minutes like that from our defenseman, especially in a week where he's going to play four games. Four games that, if he's going to play over 100 minutes of ice time this week is Chris Letang by almost all accounts. That's going to be really interesting stuff for sure. I'm going to be happy with Chris Letang. I mean, if you've rostered Chris Letang this entire season, then I can't imagine that you're moving off him for any reason at the moment. So I think it's just kind of business as usual with Chris Letang. You'd like to be seeing some goals. Yeah, the underlying metrics are not terrific. You'd like to be seeing a little bit more there, but I mean, in the end, I don't think you can be too mad about what you're getting out of a guy like Chris Letang on the season now, pacing for 9 goals, 48 points. Just solid stuff. Solid, unspectacular stuff from Chris Letang this season, which is somewhat spectacular given the fact that he hasn't been on the top power flame for much of the season, and Pittsburgh has been an absolute tire fire this year. So for him to have a decent season in a year where no one on Pittsburgh outside of Sidney Crosby really has is not that bad a spot. So overall, I think you're probably just happy to be with Chris Letang for this week. Moving into next week, he's got the Monday off night and then the Thursday, Saturday heavy nights. So maybe after the Monday, you could think about moving on from him if there are better options in your league next week. But for this week, for sure, you're just hanging on to Chris Letang and just being happy with, getting a minute munching guy who's going to give you 100 minutes of gameplay this week and whatever stats come along with that. Brandon Saad requested. He's got 4 goals, 6 points in his last five. Really solid stuff from Saad. And yeah, it's an interesting spot. Obviously, they've got some games to play this week as well. Brandon Saad most recently on a line with Braden Schenn and Jordan Kyrou. And then obviously on the second power play unit there in St. Louis as well. So St. Louis, I believe it's all heavy nights this week. Not all heavy nights, but mostly heavy nights this week for St. Louis. Double check myself there. So they are playing tonight on the Monday. I guess that's not a heavy night, but then the Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday are all technically heavy. It's a little bit rough in terms of his utility this week for you, but you can probably get him in for a game or two, probably in for tonight, maybe in for the Thursday, maybe in for the Sunday. So maybe you're getting 3 games out of Brandon Saad this week. Still not much over 15 minutes a night. That's not ideal. 129th in shots per 60 is just okay. 67th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 is not a bad number. 244th in Corsi, 4 per 60, and 177th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. That's not where we'd hope for it to be on the season. He's pacing for 27 goals, 42 points. Again, kind of putting him in that Palmieri range, maybe even a little lighter than Palmieri. I'd feel a little less likely that Saad's going to get something. He's shooting 19.5% on the season, so he's had an absolute bonkers year in terms of conversion. That's probably not likely to continue for the full year, but while he's hot, I mean, you're in your playoffs. If you've got a spot for him this week, then I really don't mind the stream. But there's probably other guys, and given that this week there's so many options, there's probably other guys that are going to play more games for you this week that I'd be a little bit more interested in. I wouldn't chase Saad just solely because of the fact that he's had a nice little hot streak here. All right, moving right along, we've got Casey Mittelstadt. He's got 2 goals, 3 points in his last five. He was promoted. I haven't seen what they've been doing here tonight. Yeah, he's still on the top power play here tonight. So that's a nice spot for Casey Mittelstadt for sure. Averaging about 16 minutes a night there. 140th in shots per 60, 107 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 84th in Corsi, 4 per 60, up at 25th in on-ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. Mittelstadt is a guy that I looked long and hard at in a couple of leagues for pickups this week. Definitely don't mind the play. As long as he's on the top power play, like that's obviously a good spot for anybody playing there in Colorado. So I don't mind that whatsoever. I think you could do a lot worse than a guy like Casey Mittelstadt this week. Overall, am I like excited to be rostering Casey Mittelstadt? No, but I think you can do a lot worse. And Colorado does have a pretty nice schedule through the end of the week here. They're going on this game here currently being played against Columbus on the Monday, and then they go Thursday, Friday, Sunday, so they avoid that Saturday heaviest night of the week, which is obviously a good spot to be. Moving into next week, like let's assume Mittelstadt holds this deployment all week. You're rostering him. Maybe you have something early week and then you move into him for the Thursday, Friday, Sunday end of week. Looking beyond that, then you've got Colorado playing on the Tuesday heavy night and then not again until the Saturday, Sunday. So if you're looking at holding him into next week, maybe if you got a spot for him on the Tuesday, you hold him that far. But more or less, I'm just viewing him as a one-week stream for this week. Depends, you might be able to hold him into next week, maybe. But it's not a player that I feel strongly enough about that I'm going to say I got to hold him just because he's got power play one. We've seen the Avs move around their lines. I've said this a million times, but the Avs move around their lines. They move around their power play units. They do all of that all the time. And so I am just not going to fall for it, I guess, is what I'm saying. I'm not going to fall for it again. We got an Anthony Cirelli goal for Tampa Bay here. So that was one of the players that I was really having a tough time wrapping my head around if I really wanted to be picking up that player this week. So there you go. Anthony Cirelli doing the thing. You got to love it. Okay, let's keep moving. Let us talk about Connor Garland. Connor Garland's got one goal, 5 points in his last five, skating a tad under 16 minutes a night. That's all good. That's all fine. Let's take a look at the lines here. Make sure I haven't missed anything. It doesn't look like I've missed anything from the lines. I think we're still looking at the same kind of deployment here for Mr. Garland, JT Miller, Dakota Joshua. That line played pretty well, and so I think they'll probably go back to it. I mean, it was against Anaheim, so take that for what it's worth, but I think they will go back to that at least for another round. Connor Garland has been pushing himself into roles with a Pettersson and Miller. Those are the guys you want exposure to, so I definitely like that. I also like the 23rd in shots per 60 that he's ranked over the last five games, 80th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 56th in on-ice Corsi, 4 per 60, and 119th in on-ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. All good numbers for Connor Garland there. I'm going to sound like a broken record with a lot of these guys, but 17 goals, 42 points, fitting into that streamer mold, right? So the thing with Garland is for this week, right, they've got the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back. So you're probably got a good chance of getting Garland in for both of those games. I think you hold him through both of those games. Good spot to be in. And then you got to reevaluate because the only other game that Vancouver plays this week is on the Saturday, heaviest night of the week. So I don't know if Garland is getting into your lineup. Could you move off of Garland after the Tuesday, Wednesday for somebody like Mittelstadt who's got the Thursday, Friday, Sunday and avoids that heaviest Saturday night? That'd be a good way to go. So I don't really view Garland as much more than a Tuesday, Wednesday stream. I've got Garland in one place and that's pretty much how I'm thinking to play it. Anything can move, you can get injuries, lots can happen between now and then, but that's kind of how I'm thinking I'll play it. Play him on the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back and then move off for an end of week stream is probably the best way to go with a guy like Connor Garland. Definitely not a guy that you have to feel like you got to hang on to. The one caveat that I will say about Garland is if you do play in week 26, then you got Vancouver coming back with a Monday, Wednesday off night combo to open up next week, which is pretty attractive. Then they do not play again until the Saturday heavy night again. So yeah, There's some utility to holding Garland if you can swing it, if he's not kind of at the bottom of your roster to drop to try to get some better streams in. So if you are playing next week and you want to save him for that Monday-Wednesday off-night combo to open next week, then I don't mind that either. So just look at your team, look at what you're doing this week. Obviously, if your league ends this week, if this is the last week in your playoffs, then you're pretty much selling out everything for this week, and then I would do the Tuesday-Wednesday and move off him. All right, Shane Pinto next requested. Shane Pinto, a guy that I've talked about a fair bit on the podcast because he had some really good underlying numbers for a good stretch there, really had a nice showing, and I was pretty excited about the player. Things have started to tail off. The point production has still been pretty strong. He's got a goal, 4 points in his last five, 16 minutes average time on ice. He's still playing with Batherson and Tkachuk at even strength, which is obviously a great spot to be. He's not on the top power play. That's been Chychrun, Sanderson, Tkachuk, Batherson, and Stützle. And yeah, as I mentioned, the underlying numbers have fallen off. We got 195th in shots per 60, 220 in individual scoring chances for per 60, 184th in Corsi for per 60, and 179th in scoring chances for per 60. So basically, you're just holding on to Pinto because of his even strength exposure. He's had a nice run, as you can see on the season pacing. You know, he has only played 32 games, but if you pace that out over 82, it would be a 20-goal, 64-point pace, which is obviously solid. On the season, the underlying numbers look a lot more solid. That 17th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, really does stick out. So Pinto, overall, on the season, looking really good. Not a great stretch for him. Has tailed off a bit as of late, and to be honest, you know, you might have expected this somewhat. Shane Pinto, not, you know, a guy that anybody was like over the moon about as a prospect. He's never been a plus prospect or somebody that's been super heralded coming into Ottawa. He's been a player that they've hoped and expected to be a solid contributing player, but not like a number one center. So Shane Pinto, definitely a guy that I think is a useful play, especially for this week here. Ottawa does have 4 games this week, so that's obviously a good spot. They play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. So again, on more of the heavier nights, but if you do have him playing at least 3 of those nights, then he's got some utility for you in terms of what he plays this week. If you look into next week, then Ottawa does go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, all heavy nights next week. And so that's obviously less attractive in terms of the schedule there. So again, Pinto feels like a guy who's just kind of bubbling around the periphery of your lineup, right around that streamer level territory. And so whenever he stops being of use to you, whenever he stops fitting into your lineup, whenever you're benching him for other players, I just think that he's a guy that you can move off of and you don't need to feel too bad about it. Jordan asks, hey Nate, thanks to you and Blake for all the helpful insights throughout the season. Made my first year of fantasy a blast. Glad to hear that. That's always good feedback to have. That's really a big part of what we're trying to do. So I appreciate that. How are you feeling about your finals matchup in the Fantasy Puck Creators League? Yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be a good one. Fantasy Tipped is the guy that I'm up against. I actually don't think I know his name. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him, but it's been a fun run for sure. I've had a good team for sure. I had a good draft in that league and kind of rode it kind of the entire way. Even, you know, so far in the few games that have been going on tonight, it's been really close, and so that's been exciting. I really hope that it's a good barn burner and we have a great matchup, but overall I'm feeling confident. I have a good team in terms of the matchup. You know, I've got some games played there that I think I can eke out. I've got a good strategy in terms of when I'm going to make my moves and who I've got. So I do think that I'm going to be able to maximize some games played. I've got some goalies who are going to get a bunch of games played for me this week, which is actually a pretty big factor in this league. Basically, just any goalie who gets a lot of volume is pretty valuable in this league. So I've got some good stuff going on there. I've got some defensemen who are going to play 4 games for me this week, which is another big factor. You know, I've got Matthews, I've got Lafreniere, who obviously had a big week last week. I've got Boldy, I got Forsberg, I got JT Miller, I've got Jake Gensel. I've got some good players in this league. It's a bangers heavy points format with a lot of weight to goalies and just volume from goalies, basically. So I think I've got the format pretty well sorted. And I just hope that the team comes together. Anything can happen in 1 week, but so far so good. It's been a tight open to this week, and yeah, I'm excited about that one. Excited about all of them for sure. Apples and Genos Patron League, I'm in the finals there, and I'm in the finals in my Kakuffle division as well, with a berth in Tier 1 Kakuffle on the line there. So that's obviously a huge matchup as well. All of it super excited about, very pumped for this week. Maybe by the end I'll be crying in the corner on my own. And Blake will have to console me the next time you hear me on the podcast. But at the moment, feeling really optimistic and feeling good for sure. All right, let's keep it rolling. We don't have too many more this week, which is pretty unusual, but also gives me some time to dig in on these players, which is good. So Jonathan Drouin, did talk about Drouin on the podcast that just came out, the flagship podcast. So you can go check that out. But 3 goals, 7 points, his last five for Drouin. I will double check the game here. Nothing has happened, so no news to report from Drouin in this current game. But he's been skating 22 and a half minutes a night. Amazing stuff, just in terms of deployment there. 184th in shots per 60, 71st in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. On ice numbers are incredible. Third in Corsi, 4 per 60. Fifth in scoring chances, 4 per 60. Really benefiting from that MacKinnon and Rantanen exposure that he's been getting. Really solid stuff actually from Drouin. Even his individual numbers have come up a little bit now, and so yeah, I do think he's an interesting play. Another player that I looked at in a few spots, unfortunately it didn't work out randomly in one league where I would have added him. It turned out that I couldn't fit him in for the Sunday because I had too many wingers. Go figure. I had a spot for a center but no spot for a winger, so I ended up not adding Drouin just because of that. So crazier things have happened, I guess. But no spot for a winger, but a spot for a center. So I couldn't add Jonathan Drouin in the one spot where I was considering him. And overall, I think he's a great play for this week. As I mentioned, Colorado, really nice spot for the rest of the week. So especially if you got, yeah, like I said, one of these guys like the. If you got New Jersey where they go Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you want to squeeze an extra game out of your Jersey player, you could drop them, get into the Colorado player to get that Thursday, Friday, Sunday. That avoids the Saturday heavy night. Again, if you got a Vancouver Tuesday, Wednesday situation, you could do the same thing. If you got any one of these Monday, Tuesday back-to-backs, you could drop them after Tuesday and get into a Colorado player like Drouin. Lots of ways that you could get into Drouin for the back end of the week that would feel really good, in my opinion. So definitely don't mind that. The one thing I will say about Drouin, always with Colorado, be watching those lines, be watching the deployment, because if he's not there on the top line, if he's not there on the top power play, then a lot of that appeal for fantasy goes away very, very fast. Eric B in the chat, Tom Wilson and Bangers Cats, he's available because of this suspension, but Lapierre has been pretty good on power play one. Where do we think he ends up? I'm inclined to think he doesn't end up on the power play, on the top power play. He hadn't been playing there a whole lot, even prior to the suspension. I'd be kind of surprised, honestly, if he comes back right into it. As you mentioned, they've got Lapierre. They've got other names as well there. Like, still shocking to me that Max Pacioretty is not playing on the top power play. I don't know why you sign Max Pacioretty and then just like not let him do the one thing that he's the best at, which is shoot the puck on the power play. But yeah, they got Ovechkin, I guess, which is who they use for that purpose. But either way, I don't know that Wilson is going to go back to the top power play. That doesn't mean he's not without utility in terms of Bangers Cats. But I do wonder if he does get Ovechkin exposure or not. TJ Oshie has had some run there and has had decent results. I don't think he's blowing the doors down either. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It would really depend, in my opinion, on the usage, because I really do need some Ovechkin exposure to be super interested in a Washington stream. The one thing I will say is that, similar to Colorado, Washington does have a great end of week schedule. They got that Thursday, Friday, Sunday that avoids the Saturday heavy night. So yeah, in a Bangers Cats, you can definitely do worse, especially if you need hits. Like, if you get through Wednesday, if you get through Wednesday and you see that you really do need hits, then Wilson makes a lot of sense because he's going to give you those hits and he also has some upside. He can move up the lineup, move around the lineup, and get you some points as well. So that part is nice about Wilson for sure. But I think I would probably try to hang on and make that decision on the Thursday, get some idea of where Wilson is going to be playing in the lineup, get some idea of how my matchup is going on. If I need some hits, then he makes a lot of sense in that regard. All right. Let's keep moving. Sam Bennett, double check the Florida game here. No more goals scored there, so I don't think we've got anything for Sam Bennett so far. Just the one assist for Sam Bennett in the last five games, averaging about 16 and a half minutes a night, which has been fairly consistent. That's been pretty much who Sam Bennett has been for most of the season. Yeah, on the season, just a little bit more than he has been the last five games. So he's his usage has been pretty consistent. Playing on a line with Evan Rodriguez and Matthew Tkachuk. Tkachuk hasn't been terrific. He's the next player up. So Tkachuk only has one goal, 3 points in his last five, skating just over 18 minutes a night. And his underlings are not terrific either. Bennett's underlings are just atrocious, which is really surprising because that's kind of one of the things that we like about Bennett here at Apples and Ginos is he's been pretty solid. 312th in shots per 60, 225th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Yeah, the underlying numbers are concerning for Bennett, no doubt about it. Matthew Tkachuk's underlings look a little bit better. That's probably realistically mostly due to the fact that he's on the top power play and getting obviously some work there. Overall, I think Bennett is just, again, going to be one of those guys. He's a streamer. I don't mind it for the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back here. If he ends up with, no points and the underlying metrics don't get any better, he's still not taking shots, still not generating any scoring chances, then I would consider moving off of Bennett after the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. So then they play Thursday, Saturday, both on the heavier nights this week. You might not even be fitting Bennett in for those nights. If that's the case, then I definitely don't think you need to be hanging on to Bennett beyond this week. I will double check for the people who are rostering Bennett, what they're doing next week. Yeah, again, Florida, one of those teams, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday next week. So if you're going into week 26 and you're like, Bennett's got to pull through for me, I don't know that he's going to do that because, again, he's going to be on those heavy nights next week. So I don't think that's going to be who you want. FF Tyler O showing up a little late this time. Drop Bennett for Thomas Holmstrom. I mean, if Holmstrom was playing and in his peak, I think I would much rather have Thomas Holmstrom on those Detroit Red Wings. That is for sure. All right. Let's keep it rolling. So, yeah, I guess I'll just touch on Tkachuk briefly as I touched on his linemate Bennett there. Tkachuk, I mean, realistically, there's nothing you're doing with Matthew Tkachuk. He's that guy. You are just gonna ride with Tkachuk and pray that the metrics turn around and that the production comes. I don't think realistically there's anything else to do with Matthew Tkachuk. I can't imagine that you're gonna move off of Matthew Tkachuk. Even if Tkachuk scored 0 points in four games this week, are you really dropping him going into week 26? I wouldn't be. Personally, you got to ride with your stars. They have the potential to absolutely light it up at any moment. And so I think that's what I would be doing with Matthew Tkachuk. All right. Brock Nelson next up. He's got just one assist in his last five games, still averaging 19 minutes a night. The last game that he played was a lower time on ice, so that is a little bit concerning. I'm just going to double check because I'm seeing that the Islanders scored a third goal here. That was from Anders Lee. I don't believe that Nelson got in on that. So again, Nelson not shaping up the best as of late. Realistically, it comes down to a few things. As long as the deployment stays up, I'm probably not moving off of Nelson. I'm definitely gonna give him both of these back-to-back games off the start of the week here, the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, and not make any decisions until after he's played these two games. I mean, they got Chicago on Tuesday here. That's obviously a great spot for some points to be scored. So if he doesn't score any points, if he doesn't show any improvement in the underlying numbers after that point, then maybe you're thinking about it. But again, they got Columbus on Thursday. So that's another good spot where you're thinking, yeah, I could probably hang on to Nelson, see how he does against Columbus. So it's just hard to move off of Nelson at this point. He's had terrific metrics throughout the year. It's kind of hard to imagine that he's just gonna completely fade out. the metrics are not terrible. You know, 108 in shots per 60, 92nd in on-ice Corsi, 4 per 60. The metrics are not awful here, which kind of just leads me to believe it's a bit of a cold stretch for Nelson, nothing more. And I would overall just kind of expect that he would get back to where he has been. Noah Hanifin requested in the Discord server. He's got just one assist his last five games, still skating 23, just about 23 and a half minutes a night there. 41st shots per 60, 42nd individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 42nd also in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60, and 48th in on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60. Solidly in the 40s amongst all defensemen through the last five games across all these metrics is Noah Hanifin. The problem with Vegas rate is that Vegas only has two games played this week. They play two Tuesday and then Friday. That's not great. I do think that, you know, if you get in four games played out of another defenseman who's halfway decent, then I would be interested in looking that way. Obviously, you know, Noah Hanifin, not one of these top power play kind of guys, has been playing on the second power play unit alongside Alex Pietrangelo in the last game. So he's been getting some utilization there, but I don't know if Hanifin is really a guy that you got to hang on to this week, especially if this is your last week for the fantasy playoffs. If this is not your last week and you're moving on into week 26, then that's when the schedule really opens up for Vegas. They play all the off nights next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, off nights next week. Really nice stuff for any Vegas player. So if that's your case, then Hanifin is obviously a lot more attractive, you're finding a lot more reasons to hang on to Hanifin this week if you can by any stretch. So I think that's a spot in which you might consider hanging on to Hanifin, as long as you have other players to drop, other players where you're still getting solid games played and you're still able to make solid moves that actually make a difference for your lineup without dropping Hanifin, then I think that I would be trying not to if I do play into week 26. Vendetta in the chat says, watching Fedotov brings me joy. Yeah, that's a great story. Ivan Fedotov, for those who don't know, was kind of, I don't know, more or less trapped, I guess, in Russia, doing some military service, as I understand it, conscripted military service. And yeah, there was talk about, were they going to be able to get him out of Russia to come over and play? So it's nice to see Fedotov coming over and getting into this game and playing pretty well so far. He's allowed just one goal on 16 shots against, so that's good to see. You know, maybe Fedotov will be the new Zergy hero for the rest of the week, who knows? But that's definitely a good story, and hopefully he's able to stick it out and have a long and prosperous NHL career. All right, we're getting to the end here. Filip Kurashev has been a puzzling player for a lot of the season. He's got 5 points again in his last five, including two goals, 18 and a half minutes a night. Underlying metrics, definitely nothing to write home about here. 206 in shots per 60, 168 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 221 Corsi, 4 per 60, 189 scoring chances, 4 per 60. On the season, pacing for 20 goals, 60 points. Yeah, this is the Filip Kurashev experience, folks. Basically, the only reason that anybody has been hanging on to Kurashev or rostering him for any reason whatsoever is the exposure to Connor Bedard. He's been Bedard's most consistent line mate for the entire season. And yeah, I don't really think there's a reason for that to change. This week, it's not a great schedule for Chicago. They play Tuesday and then they don't play again till Saturday, Sunday. So that's a spot where, you know, it's really tough to stomach three nights, and especially in a week like this where there are so many different options, lots of different ways that you can move with players in your lineup. The Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all nights that you could be getting production out of that roster spot. So that's pretty tough to stomach. Maybe I'd be trying to find one of these teams that plays three games between Tuesday and Friday. Let's check, for example, who that might be. We've got Washington. I think that might actually be the only one. I thought there were multiple, but Washington plays Tuesday, then they play Thursday and Friday. So you could drop Kurashev, you get three games played, and then you could go back into Kurashev for Saturday, Sunday if you got the room, and get five games played out of that roster spot this week. If that's the way you want to play it, I wouldn't mind that. Looking ahead into week 26 with Kurashev, Kurashev does have a nice end of week schedule there. He doesn't play on Monday, Tuesday, but then plays Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, all off nights to end the week. So that's a nice schedule there. So yeah, I think probably it's all right to be off of Kurashev for this week when there are so many other options and solid options that you're probably excited about. So I think that's a solid place to be. But yeah, I would be interested in Bedard in particular for week 26, and in particular for the kind of the back half of that first week of week 26, the matchup week 26. So that's how I'm treating Kershev at the moment. Again, just kind of a streamer level player for me. I'm not gonna get overly attached just because he's been a point of game over the last little bit. I'm not gonna just think that he's absolutely the answer just because of that. I think that he's a solid streamer and nothing more, nothing less, but nothing more. I did have a late addition to the requests here, so I'm going to throw them in here. We touched on Max Pacioretty and TJ Oshie briefly, but I will throw them in here into the sheet, and we can talk about them for a second. So both of these guys have three assists over the last few games. Pacioretty about 16 and a half minutes time on ice. Oshie up close to 19 minutes average time on ice. Neither of these guys have good underlying metrics. Oshie all the way down at 374th in shots per 60. That's not great. His on ice numbers are a little bit better. He does have that Ovechkin exposure, which is probably helping there. Yeah, I'm not excited about either of these guys overly, but Oshie definitely is line one, power play one at the moment, and so he's the guy that I would take between the two in a landslide. But yeah, you can do worse. Washington does have that schedule for this week that I mentioned, which is pretty solid. So I would be interested in either of these guys in the right spot, in the right context within my team for the schedule and for the fact that they avoid the Saturday heaviest night of the week. I'm not opposed to rostering either of these guys. If you're gonna roster either of them, I would roster Oshie first and Pacioretty second. But I'm not overly excited about either player. Yeah, you do have Wilson coming back. Maybe he bumps Oshie off the top line. I don't think that's the most likely scenario, but it is a scenario in which you could that you could see happening. So all that to say, not super excited about either of these guys, I guess. Edangler in the chat did not appreciate the Anonin post. He was supposed to be the answer. Yeah, I posted on Twitter that it was crazy to me that so many people were placing all their faith in Justice Anonin, and so far he's allowed 3 goals through 2 periods. Not the greatest look for the guy, that's for sure. I mean, he's faced 21 shots, so it's not been, an abject disaster, but definitely not what people were hoping for in this game. And yeah, if I can get on my soapbox for a second, just another reason why I really don't like early week goalie streams. I'll do it at the end of the week where it makes sense. I know Edangler is mentioning as well, he will still get a start against Edmonton, but yeah, that's against Edmonton. So yeah, I don't know how excited I'm gonna be about him doing that. Yeah, either way, I was just never that excited about Anonin. Yeah, what can I say? It was definitely like I understand the reasoning for it. Columbus, Colorado is heavily favored against Columbus in this game. Makes a lot of sense from that perspective. He's going to get a couple starts this week, which is what I always say. I'm not really adding for one game, but I will add for two. But the second game was not a great game. It was just not a player that I was excited about. I was more interested in guys like Korpisalo, who I mentioned. Filip Gustavsson was dropped in a lot of leagues. He's got a chance to play 3 games this week. I was much more interested in stuff like that. There's just a lot of other ways that I was looking at playing this week that I thought made a bit more sense. I'm not saying it was like a terrible call by any stretch of the imagination, but putting all your hopes and dreams into a rookie goaltender, yeah. Goaltenders are voodoo, and whenever you think you've got them pegged and you think you can make the perfect decision, it will blow up in your face. So, just another lesson in the voodoo that is goaltenders and why we practice and preach 0G around here. All right, we got to the end of the list. We got one last comment in the chat. Josh Mayer says, "I love you, Nady baby." Oh, that's good stuff. Playoffs and got a nice lead thanks to the Leafs. I'll only get one more start from Tarasenko if I keep Drouin and Duclair. Do I get Arizona? Lots of free agents or question mark? Yeah, I think that's a good way to play it. Yeah. If you got Tarasenko, you keep him for the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back here. And then I would drop Tarasenko and keep Drouin and Duclair over him. I am interested in all those Arizona guys. I talked about that in the flagship show. Pretty interested in a lot of the Arizona players. Schmaltz widely available, Dylan Genther widely available, even guys like Nick Bjugstad to a lesser extent. Logan Cooley has some interest for me, so I think there's multiple options from Arizona that I'd be moving off of Tarasenko for, and I would much prefer, at least given their current deployment, I would much prefer to keep Jonathan Drouin and Duclair over Tarasenko. All right, we got through everything that we needed to get through. I think that is going to be it for this episode. Hopefully, it brought you some value and helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. Let's win some championships this week, people. That's it, folks. Much love.